I played a,
Sorry, I'm fine. I'm watching your video.
Oh, yeah.
But what'd you play? What? Which fine? Would you see? Where's the, what's the soundtrack to the first movie that came out in 1984?
What?
I'm fine. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Did you slip into trivia mode?
A little bit. Some of my kids were annoying me, and so I like started just bombarding them with facts, and they just that shut them all up. It was cool.
I will silence you with knowledge, you little shits. Take the cock out your mouth, James. We're podcasting now.
Ah, somebody's got to suck it.
Suck it.
This dick's not going to suck itself, darling.
No.
What'd you discover, experience today?
Spotify put together a Halloween playlist. And so I was like, well, what the fuck? Why not? So I started playing it. And it's, you know, it's like Thriller and shit like that.
Ghostbusters?
Yeah, Ghostbusters. Several variations thereof.
Mm.
I discovered I'm a bigger fan of Oingo Boingo than I thought.
Oh, yeah? Besides, I'm sure Weird Science was on there. What else?
Weird Science. Dead Man's Party. Yeah. I think that was it. But no,
all right, cool story.
Then I switched over to like an Oingo Boingo playlist, and I was like, yeah, Oingo Boingo is the shit.
Well, I was never into – I mean, I enjoyed those songs that we mentioned, but I was – you know, since about 1989 or probably 87, I've been a big fan of Danny Elfman as a composer.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a lot of Tim Burton movies as well as a lot of superhero movies.
Yeah, but he started
in Oingo Boingo. I can't even say
Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo.
The Ungoy are actually a race of the characters in the Halo universe, which is why that particular phoneme set is part of my vernacular.
And they fight the Bungoy.
Yes. And when they mess up, it's called the Ungoy Bungoy.
Sure. Let's commit that to reality. Hey, James.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, James.
Nick.
Welcome to Dork.
Welcome to Dork.
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore. You're listening to Dork, episode 163. Hey, James, I know you were raised as a witch.
I was also black. I was raised black. I didn't convert until I was 19.
So did you only practice black magic?
Or that was it
just general witchcraft? Am I generalizing?
Yes. It's a generalization, but it happens to be accurate in this case.
Hmm. See, I was raised to believe
in a thing called love.
No, in some degree that witches were a thing.
Yeah.
Were
you told you that you could suffer them to live and it was fine?
Yeah. I mean, we weren't explicitly told to murder witches.
Hmm.
But you know, it was a thing that we were, you know, they were like, be aware. You know, the witches are a thing, and you should not fuck with them, nor should you fuck with magic.
When you say you shouldn't fuck with them, you mean socialize, or do you mean antagonize?
Either, I guess. Like, I'm not certain on what religion you were raised in, but did you have a similar message?
Not that I recall. I mean, I don't remember the United Methodist Church that I attended specifically warning against witches or that.
Okay,
that
well, you see, Methodists are slightly enlightened.
Yeah.
Like, Carol and I decided when we, you know, when we got married, like, if we ever had kids and thus went to church, because it's way easier than, you know, finding a babysitter elsewhere, that we would be Methodists. Because, you know, I know Methodists. I've known several Methodist ministers. I've been to a Methodist church before. I kind of dig it. It's like, I can get behind it. You know, if I'm going to be a Christian, I count myself as a Methodist. They got just enough pomp and circumstance and enough laid back that it's not, you know, not quite, you know, it's not like Episcopalian, which is Catholic light. It's like, it's like Protestant light, but like, I dig it. Like, I dig a church that's just like, yeah, we're cool with the gays. You know, like, that's my level of, like, religious devotion. So, well, Church of Christ is a whole other thing.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, and so, I get to thinking about it today for two reasons. One, I'm, you know, working on my outline for my NaNoWriMo book, and it's going to involve my experiences, you know, growing up religious, super duper religious.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've got that on my mind. And today on Facebook, I'm part of a group called Are We Watching the Same Movie?
Oh, yeah.
And they do, it's run by a guy named Brendan Swar, I think is how you pronounce his name. Or I don't think it's Sewer, it's Suir. But anyway, he puts together these brackets of different types of movies. So, like, one was, you know, best Tom Hanks movie, or one that didn't get a whole lot of votes for the whole bracket was best Jennifer Aniston movie. I think people were like, eh, piece of shit. But, like, best 80s action flick, or blah, 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 blah. And so everybody in the group, like, votes in. You have to give a reason why, you know, you're supposed to. Not everybody does, but, you know, a lot of people... You know, stick to the spirit of it, and they're like, "Yeah, okay, so this I think this, and this is why." Today was a rough matchup, not really a rough matchup, but I felt a little bit of angst because they matched up Beetlejuice versus The Craft. Now,
okay, those are both have to do with magic and such,
right? But The Craft, I think, if it had been matched up against something easier, you know, like I don't know, like Ernest Scared Stupid. I think it would have won.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but against Beetlejuice, I mean, that's a heavy hitter. You're not taking on Beetlejuice, the best Halloween movie, unless you like Last Nightmare Before Christmas, or, you know, Gremlins isn't really a Halloween movie. Gremlins is a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie. It's a horror. I mean, yeah, it's a kind of a horror movie, but it's not. I mean, it's PG horror, you know.
Right, but Beetlejuice is a heavy hitter, man. You know, he's bringing some lumber to the fight.
He is. I mean, it's Michael Keaton, you know. It's, yeah. Tim Burton. It's, you know.
It's Michael Keaton at his best. It's Tim Burton at his Tim Burton-iest.
Yes.
And then you've got Geeta Davis and Alec Baldwin and
Winona Ryder,
and that pedophile principal from Ferris Bueller.
Oh, Jeffrey Jones.
Jones, and she plays Kevin's mom in Home Alone. I can't remember her name. And then the dude that plays Otho, who's done other things, but I only remember him as Otho.
Yeah.
But he's very good, you know, it's a character role. It's fantastic.
Yeah. He was one of the voices. He was like the voice of the mirror in Nightmare Before Christmas. It's the only other thing I can, like, come up with off the top of my head.
But dude did good. Did a good job, you know. It was like a villain who's those kind roles. Of villainous, but not really super villainous. You know, like it worked. Got cast perfectly for that. So Not taking down The Craft. But The Craft was a movie that I liked when I was in high school for reasons. I mean, not the least of which is, you know, the idea of a coven of like sexy high school witches like going to put a spell on me, you know, for a little Christian boy. My God, that's the naughtiest of fantasies.
Would be in like something like that kind of thing.
But yeah. They do magic in it, in The Craft, you know.
Catherine O'Hara.
There you go.
Beetlejuice, mom. All right, go ahead.
But no, they do magic in The Craft. They do like spells and stuff, right? And so I'm watching these movies with other kids in my youth group. Watching this movie. And, you know, I'm like, oh, that's like real magic. You guys don't fuck with that. Because, like, some of the girls were, like, making fun of me with the doing, like, doing one of the spells. I was like, no, magic is evil, and it says we're specifically not supposed to play with it because you're tapping into unknown forces. So don't do that.
You're meddling with powers you cannot possibly comprehend.
Now, you know, to be fair, in my background, I had been told that the magic eight ball was witchcraft because, you know, you're
conferring
spirits.
Prophecy.
Right, yeah. A Ouija board, forget about it. Straight up, you know, that's just, that'll suck you right into hell.
A Ouija board? Isn't that like a boogie board? Oh, no, yes, never mind.
But with letters on it.
Yes. It's because every time I use my Ouija board, I start hearing the Hawaii Five-O theme.
It's the devil now. Yeah. But yeah, so they were pretty hardcore about it. I don't know if it was just because they don't like the competition. Or, I mean, there were some people in my church that like really believed it hardcore. Like, no, witches are real, and they will come steal your babies in the night. But not so much for you?
No. No. No.
Yeah, I didn't say it was reasonable. But, you know, I did grow up with that certain amount of like, oh, you know, witches don't, you know, they seems like something we're going to joke about, but that's how they get you. Well, yeah. They were also very anti Dungeons and Dragons. But that was that whole time in the 80s, the whole satanic panic thing.
Like, oh, yeah.
It was perfect. It was a perfect time. For the adults in my church.
Porn records backwards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bat masking.
Zip, zip, zip. Freddy is the devil. Zip, zip, zip.
Yeah, I remember coming home and that was on Inside Edition. Zip. They were talking about Judas Priest.
Zip, zip. Eat your parents. Zip, zip, zip.
Yeah. Yes. They were, you know. They were like, hey, look, Satanists are stealing children and impregnating them and then eating the fetuses. Like that kind of shit. That level of, you know, and Judas Priest is the gateway to that. I just wish I knew then what I know now about Rob Halford. I'd be like, look, I don't think you... I mean, if you guys want to hate on Judas Priest, I can give you a concrete reason, but it's not witchcraft.
Your voice stuttered on the word concrete, so I thought you were going to say like a... I mean, it's like, I'm going to give you a cock... And I was like, is he going to say cocksucking?
I'll give you a cocksucking reason if you want to hate on Rob Halford.
I have had it with these cocksucking snakes on this cocksucking plane movie. But yes, I mean, in defense of the people that were afraid that, you know, heavy metal was satanic, there were a lot of, I'm not saying the whole, I mean, I obviously listened to it and I'm not a Satanist, but that's the reason I know there's a whole bunch of satanic heavy metal songs. Like Manowar's Bridge of Death is the first one that comes to mind.
Don't forsake me. I wait for you to take me. Grant me wings, and as your messenger, I'll fly.
You know that one.
Yeah, but Manowar, like, again, I'm looking back now. I remember when I was a kid, I got an AC/DC album. And I took the insert out of it because it, like, unfolded all big. And it had a picture of them on stage. And they had, on one side of it, they had this giant inflatable Angus Young with horns.
Oh, yeah, because that was, like, the image from the front of the album, huh?
Right. Yeah. And this thing's, like, three stories tall. And so that's, like, on my wall. And my dad was like, just remember, you know, be aware of the iconography. You know, that's not something, you know, you want to take lightly. And I mean, now my dad's got everything AC/DC ever did on his phone. You know, it's like, I think once your kids grow up or get to a certain age, you're like, okay, you know what?
But even now, I am no longer a role model.
Yeah. Or I'm not so paranoid. Like my mom might, but my dad, I really doubt now if I was like, hey, I'm friends with the witch. If he'd be like, oh no, we have to burn it.
Right. Especially, yeah. Once your kids turn out all right, you know, or if they turn out, don't turn out right. It's like, you know, they're done. If they're like, you know, 24 and they have a job, they're like reasonably adjusted, then, you know, whatever. It's like, he's experimenting. He's doing his stuff. He's, you know, I've taught him well enough. Whatever the fuck.
Yeah. I mean, I got over it. Like, college did what it was supposed to do. Like, and early.
Exposed you to a bunch of stuff that made you rethink your entire life previous to that?
Yeah. And, like, it did it in my freshman year. Like, I met a gay guy, and he fixed that. You know, he's like, hi.
He's like, and you're like, you don't want to, like, rape me and kill my children?
Yeah. He's like, hi, I'm James. I'm gay. And we're already friends, so why are you going to make it weird?
Actually, now I know.
His exact words were, like, we were having a conversation about it, and I was like, wait, are you gay? And he's like, would it change anything if I was? And I was like, oh, well, no. That's all it took. That's literally all it took to, like, take all that shit and flush it down the toilet. He'd be like, oh, I never met one. And it would, so everything, all the bullshit would work right up until you meet somebody that all this shit is heaped on. And you're like, oh, they're real people. I thought it was like, you know, like the evil pigs in the Bible. But no, you're a real guy. Okay. So there, hi. Same thing when I met a witch. And it was actually, I met both of them via my job. Not, I wasn't like catering to them, but like I worked at a hockey shop, and the guy that managed the place was the dude James that ended up being gay. But I worked with him for like 6 months before I found out. But in that period of time, because there was a hockey shop in Louisiana, we weren't terribly busy.
Truth.
So it was in like a strip mall, and in one of the other little offices in this little block was a piercing studio. And the chick that ran that was a witch. But I found she didn't just say hi, I'm a witch. But like after talking to her for a while, she's like, oh yeah, I'm a witch. And like I was like, oh, so I got talking to her and I was like, oh, I get it. It's like you're a nerd. I totally makes sense. You really should meet my parents and straighten this shit out. Now she did have like lip rings and tattoos and stuff, and that would have weirded them out. But you know, at this point, my sister had like nose piercings, and I've got me and one of my other sisters are like fucking covered in tattoos, so we're working on our own exposure therapy on our parents. But back then, scandalous.
Scandal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, my parents were always like, you know, they were never like, oh, you ever make sure you watch out for witches and stuff. They were just like, you're black, so don't get killed by any cops. So that's it.
Yeah. Witches? No. But much like Nick with Judas Priest and Rob Halford, I do have some more concrete things for you to worry about. Yeah.
So yeah. wasn't really concerned about witches that I recall. Maybe it's very possible that I attended several church services where they mentioned witches and reasons why we should fear and hate them, but I really didn't pay attention because, you know, it was church and I was being forced to go.
Mm. Well, I did when I met the witch for the first time. I was like, oh, got to read up on this. So I got a book on like the history of black magic and stuff. And one of the things in it was the use of magic squares, where it's like where you write a word and then you write it horizontal, and then off of that same letter you write it down, and then you match it all up like a Sudoku, but with letters.
Ah.
And these things were like carved on tombs and on, you know, over the doorway of your house and scribbled on things for protection. And one of these was supposed to be able to turn you into a bird. So me and Gay James are sitting in the hockey shop, and I was like, dude, we should try and turn you into a bird, see if this shit works. And so we did it, and he didn't turn into a bird.
Really?
But I was a little nervous. Again, I'm like 18. So I'm old enough to where I should not be worried about turning a friend into a bird on accident.
Yeah, I was going to ask, were you genuinely concerned, or were you just concerned that, like, the attempt of transformation would like change a few of your cells and give you cancer or something?
Well, I was a little worried that he might turn into a bird, and then but then the witch was right around the corner. So I go, Emily, I accidentally turned him into a bird. Can you fix this, please? Like if it worked, then I'd have a whole new respect for it. But if it didn't, you know, it didn't, no harm, no foul. But if it did, I had a backup plan.
Oh, God, my brain is so infatuated with puns. If he didn't turn into a bird, no harm.
No foul.
No foul. Correct, boy, I wonder. Sorry, I just felt like the 60s Riddler for a second when I laughed at that for obviously no reason, but still. So how's it going?
It's going all right. I didn't turn anybody into a bird today.
That's good.
I was sitting in one of the offices in my work building talking with one of my coworkers, and out his window is a driveway next to my office that takes you behind the office for where the parking is. And on the other side of that driveway is the back alley of a strip mall. And they're working on one of these shops, converting it to a restaurant. So there's workmen there. And at one point, he tells me that morning, one of the workmen had stepped out of the back door and pissed on the wall, like right outside of his window, and peed a lot.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, well, I mean, that's awful. Because, yeah, we banged on the window and everything, and the dude, like, nothing. He didn't care. But as we're having this conversation, dude comes walking out again. Like, as we're talking about it. And he goes, you got to be shitting me. I was like, what? He goes, look. And the dude walks out, goes right to the same spot, and proceeds to piss for an extended amount of time. It wasn't quick. He, like, put a hand up on the wall and everything. And just pissed for a while.
Wow.
Which, you know, I mean, it happens, I guess. But, yeah. So that happened. I'm sending you a picture of it.
Pass.
It's too late.
Why would you? I don't need a picture. I can visualize these things mentally.
Sure you can, but you know, when you have concrete evidence.
Goddamn bastard.
Right? It's not his dick or anything, dude. Just a guy taking a look.
Oh. Actually, from this angle, it just looks like he's very tired and can't hold his Coca-Cola up.
No, he's peeing.
Like, he's peeing.
If I would have thought about it more, I would have taken a video, but...
Yes. Well, I appreciate you sharing that.
Mm-hmm. How about you? Anything exciting happen with you?
how many fights did I break up in the last week? Maybe just the one. And it wasn't really a fight. It was just this one girl freaking out. And there was somebody in between her and the door. But, yeah. Middle school aged kids are very emotional. Yeah, I found out. Yeah. Oh, I did go to Mississippi. A friend of mine turned 40 and he like rented a house out in the boonies to like, you know, invite a few people and hang out for the weekend. So that was cool. There's a lot of day drinking in a hot tub, so some interesting things happened.
I bet. That's always a great combination.
Yes. And at some point, the weekend went from PG to PG-13. And some from...
Aha!
And from some point. Yes. Anyway.
That means there could have been brief tits.
There could have been
at least one fuck.
No, there could have been at least one fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. The word fuck, yes.
Yes.
At some point, he got... if there were a documentary in there, then, you know, a disclaimer at the beginning of the trailer for the documentary.
That's my kind of documentary. Like a documentary with a disclaimer on it. I...
Love a parade.
Oh, you got hit in the face last week.
Did I get hit in the face last week?
You didn't tell me about it. You said no. You had said you got no. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. You were struck.
I mean, I've been struck in the last several weeks. I just don't remember telling you about the time when I was hit in the face recently.
You texted it. You were like, "Hey, I had some kid. It was an amateur Muhammad Ali." You had a long day.
Yeah. And what's funny is, like, I'm not even the person on staff who has been hit in the head area the most on staff. Because we had one day when I was breaking up a fight, and, like, I got him apart, and then, like, somebody else was taking over, like, you know, and I was, like, making sure that there was some, like, electrical equipment that wasn't falling over because the guy, like, bumped into it. Oh, God, this kid. Anyway, I like dropped my clipboard in the process and like stepped and then like immediately stepped on it and fell like on my elbow. And I was like, oh shit. And that was very painful. But during that same fight or exchange, another person on staff got punched in the head, in the back of the head, because like one of the, he was restraining one kid. The other kid that was in the fight, like was trying to like sneak a shot at the kid being restrained. And he like hit the teacher in the back of the head instead.
So, what a little bitch.
I know. He is a little bitch. I'm just kidding. All those kids are wonderful. I love them.
See, that's something that teachers don't get credit for. Like, if I was a teacher and a kid hit me, I would stop what I was doing and address this child with my fists. Like, I don't care. People are like, oh, you can't hit a kid. No. His parents aren't here. He wants to fight.
I literally weigh twice as much as most of these kids. I can't attack them.
You can do it once.
That'll learn them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Once you, dude, you clock one kid, James the Giant Teach turns around and just like, blam! Drops one kid. Be like, don't mess with Mr. Brown. Remember Johnny and how he's dead now? That was Mr. Brown. So, you know, when he says stop, you should stop or he will murder you.
And one kid on at the school who's an orphan, you know, won't sue me.
Yeah, that's your example right there.
What's funny, that would be more effective for the year, you know, a couple of years at least. because there's kids. I mean, actually, it's an academy, so I mean, there's kids there from, you know, kindergarten all the way up to eighth grade.
Hmm. So the question is, would it be more effective to kill a senior, or an eighth grader, or a kindergartner? Because if you kill a kindergartner, I'm thinking about the kind of mileage you're going to get out of it. You kill a kindergartner, and like his whole class is going to be like, for that whole 8 years, it's like, that's Mr. Brown. Remember when he killed Billy? Yeah, I remember that. That was a fucked up day. We all got ice cream. You kill an eighth grader, some of the kindergartners are probably going to, you know, remember it. And it may allow your legend to grow. But
yeah, I'm thinking it'd be better because, like, some, you know, most kindergartners, I don't know, like, if they have, like, exactly the concept or, you know, the way death works, or if, their ability to from kindergarten to kindergartner, you know. What would be ideal is if I had an eighth grader who had a younger brother in kindergarten or something like that.
Hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, maybe somewhere in the middle. Yeah. I mean, because I don't, especially like, you know, like a kindergartner, what's a kindergartner do to piss me off strong enough for me to like hit him hard enough to actually kill him? Fourth grader, I have no qualms about killing a fourth grader. That's fine.
Okay, see, now we have your line. we know where to work.
Well, we know the line is somewhere between kindergarten and fourth grade. You know, fourth grade is definitely on the, you know, on the proper side of the line.
Well, glad we got all that on tape. Have you caught Patton Oswalt's new stand-up session on Netflix?
No, I have not.
It's pretty good. He does talk about his wife's death, and you know.
Oh yeah.
Like, he couldn't.
Woke up, yeah, I mean, he like woke up with, you know, like they went to bed together, and like he woke up and she was not alive anymore, right?
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah,
yeah. And like his daughter was at school. Like I think he got up, took her to school, and he came back, and his wife was dead. Like she still had not gotten out of bed. So yeah, it was like, so he had to like pick up his daughter and like tell her and all that shit. Like this whole thing, and he goes into it. And he does it well, but yeah, it's definitely something worth catching. And you know, of course he finds the humor in it. Like he talks about like superheroes. You see him in all the movies, like they're always standing in a graveyard at night. He's like, that's bullshit. They're closed. They close at 6, which means the dude put on his big black trench coat and he climbed over the fence at night and all this shit. It's garbage. Yeah.
I wonder how much of the world, like the way the world works, we infer from like superhero movies, you know, like, oh, I, you know, like you go to the graveyard at like 8 o'clock at night just thinking like, oh well, you know, I saw Batman over his parents' grave at like midnight, so I figured the, you know, the graveyard would be open.
Well, the one my grandparents are in is open all the time. Like the gates don't really close on that.
Mm. But the one,
so I guess it depends.
Like we don't live too far from where Jane's grandmother is buried, and that one definitely closes like around sunset. I don't know if it's sunset at all or it's like 6 p.m., but it's usually closed when I'm driving by it in the evening.
Yeah, the one my grandparents are in, I don't think closes at all, because I remember being in like the mausoleum. It has two huge mausoleums, the ones where they put the bodies in the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like a private mausoleum, but the big public mausoleums.
Right.
And I remember being in those pretty late. Because there was a period when I was in college where I was like, I'm studying literature, go to the graveyard.
Yes.
Quiet. Yeah, you know, it's stupid bullshit.
Yeah. Sorry, now I'm all like somber and like thinking about my grandparents that I haven't visited their grave in 5 or 6 years.
And they're not going anywhere. Well, the only reason I visited mine, well, I can say I visited my grandparents' grave within the last year is because we did a show at the one of the meeting rooms or the the reception hall there. We did Tony and Tina's wedding. And since we know who run somebody who runs the place, they cut us a deal on using the reception hall for the show. And I was like, hey, my grandparents are right over there. And so I like walked over.
Said hello.
Yeah, I was like, hey. I didn't say anything. They're dead. But they're dead next to each other.
All right. Well, this is uplifting.
Well, I mean, they were old. Like, if they had died in their 40s, okay. You know, I wouldn't have known them. So, again, I couldn't... Whatever.
Do you have your tickets to... have we talked about the Dolby Theater? I was just talking to my brother about the seeing Thor, and I've already got my tickets.
Yeah, no, you know I don't have my tickets, dude.
I know you don't have your tickets. Have you ever gone to a Dolby Theater though?
I did. I saw. I saw Prometheus one.
Oh, that was before I started going to one.
Yeah, I saw Prometheus in one, and there was like four people in there because I went on a Sunday morning. And I was like, I don't understand why I paid extra for the, oh my God! I tell you what, that page is off.
Oh shit, yeah. And not just because of the, you know, reserved seating, but like the crystal clear screen images, the fucking...
The sound, man.
The sound, yeah. The sound above all. The sound
was unreal.
When I went to see Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and that scene where Gamora like picks up the gun from the ship and starts shooting Nebula with it, or at Nebula, and like the back of my seat is like,
yeah, you wouldn't think that like just really good sound would be enough to make a movie 3D.
Oh,
because like, I saw Prometheus not in 3D; it was just with the IMAX super sound setup, and like that was enough. Like, it was enough.
Oh, hell yeah.
High def sound. And, like, it sounds stupid, but nah. It was amazing.
Yeah. I don't really... actually, I think Guardians of the Galaxy 1 was the last movie I saw in 3D. Because I'm not one of those people that's like, I have to see 3D. I don't know who is, but I guess some people are.
Yeah.
The sound fucking... Oh, it submerges you into it. You are, like... In the movie, you feel like it. It is awesome.
Yeah, I don't think I need to see a movie in 3D. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing Avatar. I've never seen Avatar. And I have a feeling they'll re-release that in theaters because they're going to do, like, four or five of them.
Right.
And if they want motherfuckers to come see the new ones, they're going to have to re-release the old one to get people psyched up.
Yeah, especially if they want people to see it in, like, IMAX 3D, you know, with stuff. Because that's, I mean, honestly, with Avatar, like, that's most of the experience is, like, the visual, the way it captivates you visually. Impressive. Because it sure as shit is not for the story that people go see that movie.
Yeah, I saw Pocahontas. I went to
see that movie. Yeah.
No, like,
or Dances with Wolves.
Dude, it was 2009. So, like, little kids that are going to go see it are going to have no fucking idea. You know, you got to be like, okay, well, here's the first one.
Yeah. And that's one that, like, really benefits from the theater experience.
Yeah, so when it gets released, I'm really looking forward to seeing Avatar 10 years late. there's something, you know, exciting about that, seeing something everyone's seen for forever ago. Because all of a sudden, all these jokes that people have been making make sense all of a sudden. You're like, oh, wow. I get that reference. I feel like fucking Captain America.
And it's flying monkeys.
I get that reference. You see the Wizard of Id.
The what?
What?
Who?
So Renee Zellweger is going to be doing a movie where she plays... Dorothy, what's her fucking name?
Judy Garland?
Judy Garland, yes, but like at the end of her life.
Oh.
She's like all super drugged up and you know, like, and basically talking about how shitty her life, like Judy Garland's life sucked dickhole. You know, like people are like, oh, Judy Garland, she's an icon. Her life fucking sucked assholes. Like, just because, you know, she was famous and she made money.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I know that much about her personal life. I mean, I know she's Liza Minnelli's mom.
Like, okay, so she wasn't really allowed to date publicly because she was supposed to be the girl next door.
Right. She's, yeah, it's like, you know, iconic personality of, you know, the simple farm girl.
Right. But she was still, you know, a young woman, and she still wanted to get laid, and so she did. And she got pregnant several times, and the studio forced her to have abortions several times.
Holy shit.
She had multiple abortions on, you know, forced on her by the studio. During, like, Wizard of Oz, to keep her figure, they had her, like, chain smoking, like, 80 cigarettes a day and drinking coffee so she could maintain her figure. She used to have her assistant sneak food to her so she wouldn't starve to death. Like, and you know, when she was doing those movies with Mickey Rooney, like, they were the it couple. They were shooting, they were on like an 18-hour-a-day shooting schedule. And so she was being pumped full of uppers like crazy. And then, you know, when she finally was ready to collapse, they had to pump her full of downers. Like, she was Michael Jackson before Michael Jackson made it cool.
Wow. She's like the prototype Jackson, the MJ, the pre-MJ.
Yeah, she was a white woman years before Michael Jackson ever took that swing. But yeah, dude, her life was fucking garbage.
Holy shit, man.
Like, I wouldn't mind a certain amount of fame, but I don't want, like, that level where I have to get abortions.
I wouldn't want you to get abortions, Nick.
Well, thank you, James. It's very sweet of you.
I'm always here for you.
But yeah, her life was just trash. And, like, you know, like, with all the Harvey Weinstein shit, and now this other director, I can't remember the fucking asshole's name, and then John Besh and all that stuff. Like,
oh yeah, fucking John Besh shit. It's institutional.
Like, you're like, what the fuck? Like, I've never been more happy to have a dick. Like, I mean, I have sisters, and I have lots of friends that are women, and, you know, they tell you, but I've always thought of myself as relatively well behaved when it comes to women. And, you know, I guess my guy friends know I don't really put up with that shit. They don't do stuff in front of me, and I don't see stuff like that happen in front of me very often. But, I mean, for fuck's sake.
I know.
It's bad enough when you work in a restaurant and, you know, John, would you, your boss, the boss of bosses, like, hey, let me grab your ass. And you're kind of like, I need this job. Got to pay for fucking car insurance. Like, Harvey Weinstein, sorry, though.
I was all pensive and shit. This is a wonderful episode, uplifting in every respect.
Well, no, like, okay, so Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein is a fucking man goblin, right?
Yes.
But if you told me I would become a famous millionaire movie star and all I had to do is suck his dick once, guess who's going to be on set tomorrow? Like, again, it's never okay to coerce anybody to do anything against their will. All
right? Right.
Even if it involves promises of work. But it's way easier to, like, it's way easier to be like, this happened to me and it was awful. After the fact, when you're a millionaire and you're up on top of it, and you're just like, ha-ha, now I crush you, Weinstein. When arguably the man kept his word.
Yeah, there's that argument.
It's an argument. The dude's a dickhole. The dude is a piece of shit. And it's increasingly looking like charges are going to be filed against him, like, to where he may go to prison. And deservedly so, because there were cases of genuine rape. Like, there have been several actors who said he forced himself on them. And, like, there's not even a question there.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he was like, he's got a weird voice. But he's like, you could give me a massage and I'll make you a star. And then, like, they never heard from him again. Okay, yeah, You should have meet. The problem there is, like, the lots of chicks did immediately go to the studios. Be like, Harvey Weinstein totally offered me work if I let him molest me, and he molested me, and I didn't get any work. And they're like, who the fuck are you? Fuck off. Like, they were powerless. You can't go up against Harvey fucking Weinstein.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. Maybe that was the plan. I'm just like, I will do this, Harvey Weinstein. Like, I could see a chick, like, looking up at him, this stupid, wrinkled, old, stupid, dumb dick in her mouth. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to blow you. But then I'm going to become a big old star. And then I'm going to fuck your... I'm going to be the one to kick that shit over. Right the fuck over, you son of a whore. No reason to bring Harvey Weinstein's mom into this.
I mean, I paid her once, so, you know, it's verified.
Yeah, but the other guy, I saw his, like, what his body of work was. And he was even more goblin-y than Harvey Weinstein. See pictures of a toe back, I think? I forget what he
What's
did.
His, what was he in? What movie did he...
I gotta look it up.
Because I'm not sure. Because, like, I don't remember anything specific between the Harvey Weinstein thing and the John Besh shit.
Yeah, this was like this week.
Yeah, I mean, the John Besh shit was just a couple of days ago.
James Toback.
James Toback. Oh, he wrote Bugsy.
Yes, and he's directed all kinds of shit. But, like, Julianne Moore came out against this dude. Like this isn't Rose McGowan. Like, Rose McGowan kicked off the shit with Harvey Weinstein, and she's been talking about it for years. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't even think that was, like he promised me work or whatever. It's like, she was working, and he's like, I'm Harvey Weinstein. He got to come over here and touch my balls or whatever. And she was very vocal about it, and, like, nobody, you know, she didn't blow him. She already had the job. She's like, I'm Rose McGowan, and you're you. Gross. And then told people, and they were like, shh. Stop it. It's Harvey Weinstein.
Like, if Harvey Weinstein falls, does that... I mean, the whole movie industry is not going to, like...
No.
Exactly. So, but what the fuck? Time,
again, they use that phrase, a kingmaker. Like, he's the guy, like, he could make you a star. If he wanted to, like, he built Kevin Smith. And, like, via Miramax. And, like, Kevin Smith has, you know, come out and said, look, all my residuals from my Harvey Weinstein movies are all going to women's charities. Like, so he stepped up in a big, bad way. And I think now, you know, this is kind of like the breaking of the bullshit. Like, it's one of those big, you know, things where the current generation of young women is already more empowered against, like, fuck off. Like, you know, just like they've been told more and more, like, don't be quiet about it. It's not okay. If it's for a job, if somebody's pushing you into it, whatever, it's not okay. Say something. And the rest of, you know, society has been more and more pressed into, like, okay, they said something. Now, you know, they did what you told them. Now back it up. You know, take action. So I think this is a big, you know, slapping that shit down, but there's going to be more, you know, there's still enough of those guys around that there's going to be more and more of these kind of things popping up.
Yeah. We may, you know, we may have hit the summit of the mountain, but, or maybe we haven't, but we still have a lot of, descent. We'll have a climbing to go.
I mean, there's going to be dirty dickholes everywhere. Like,
I mean, yeah, but, like, now it's going to be easier to reveal. It's like, aha, dirty dick hole behind curtain number one.
Yeah.
Dirty dick hole behind curtain number two. They're all dirty dick holes.
Gross. But, yeah, like, you see the guys, though, and it just makes it even creepier. Like, Harvey Weinstein is a creepy fucker. He just looks
And the other guy.
The other guy looks really creepy.
James Toback looks like somebody that Paul Giamatti would play in a movie.
And he will.
Like, yeah.
He totally will. Yeah. I'm a director. You read about the shit James Toback used to do. He used to stand on the corner in New York City with his cards, and he would see, like, a pretty girl, and he'd go walking up. He'd say, hi, I'm James Toback. I'm a famous director. Here's my card. You come meet me up later, and we'll see about making you a star. I would like to do it. Like, he would literally do that shit. Yeah. And if you go back further, like if you like Judy Garland's, you know, all the shit going on back then, that's where the term casting couch came from.
Oh yeah.
Because, like, there were directors notorious for just like, all right, so it's the end of the day, I'm gonna have a scotch, and who's big now? Send her over. Hi, honey, it's in your contract. Big. Suck this shit. But, you know, hopefully in a world where Wonder Woman is out and about, the directors will be afraid of her. And she'll come bursting through the window and smash cocks.
Yes. With her shield and sword.
Wonder Woman! Wonder Woman! So, yeah, behave yourselves, damn it. As James once said, only the strong can show mercy.
It is the weak who are cruel. Only the strong can be truly gentle.
Damn it, you fucks. With that, I'm Nimor.
Oh, I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nimor. You have been dorked.
You have.
Dork.
But we already have our own theme song.
We do. It's probably coming up now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can feel it.
But I am dead serious. If there are any directors out there that want me to blow them and they can guarantee me success, I will suck your cock. I'm not saying I'm not going to, like, completely destroy you later.
You don't have to mention that part up front. You don't have to mention that part up front.
No, I'm letting them know.
No, that's fair, I guess.
I mean, yeah. if you are that fucking dumb to where you can't keep your dick in your pants and do your goddamn job, like, seriously, I've never understood that. I'm going to date, I'm totally going to abuse the situation and get my dick wet. Yeah, and this will never bite me in the ass.
Yeah. Seriously, he looks like somebody, like, Paul Giamatti is, like, going to play him in the, you know, the biopic, or maybe not even, like, yeah, or maybe it'll be, like, a musical, yeah. I am a bastard.
I'm a director. That's just Sebastian talking. Yeah. I'm a director. Creepy fuck. All right, dude. I'll see you later.
All right.
Bye, James.